Thomas Passier, and you are tuned, listener-supported, Keith Ewell and Karen in on June afternoon for Thursday, the 31st of March. I'm Jeff Ryan in the studio with Felix T.A. from the University of Alaska Southeast here to talk about the various activities that they've been putting on recently. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, what are you? Are you a senior, junior?
Yeah, I'm a junior. This is my second semester here at UAS. I transferred 2014, and it's been fun to be a part of the community and to be a part of UAS. So I currently, aside from student, I also work on campus, various jobs. One of them, I'm a student assistant for Student Activities Board. And Student Activities Board helps plan and implement lots of great different events at UAS to bring students together and to engage them with each other, as well as with the community, and to create lasting memories for their college experience at UAS.
And you also do a show on KXLM.
I do, yeah. So through UAS Media Club, we kickstarted again the UAS Radio Hour. So we broadcast live every Tuesday at 12 noon from our little small studio, 104A in Egan Library via KXLL. So it's really fun. We play some music there, some different types, as well as give updates on what's going on at UAS for that week and for upcoming dates.
So you're the expert on what's happening at UAS.
A little. I like to dabble a little bit here and there to kind of just be acquainted with everything, but yeah.
What's going on?
Well, tomorrow we have, it's a two-semester-long series now, the Alaska Airlines Student Concert Series. Tomorrow we're hosting, it's their first time in Alaska, Dave and Ethan. They're a comedy duo. These are lifelong friends that have shared the stage with some big comedy names like Jim Gaffigan and Amy Schumer. They've been some big comedy clubs, including a UCB over in New York, which I'll talk a little bit about afterwards. I've seen them perform live in at the NACA conference in Spokane, Washington. They're really engaging with the audience, really fun. They're also popular online on YouTube. They have lots of videos and they have lots of followers. So pretty good dynamic duo that we're excited to host tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock, and then that's going to be at the UAS Rec Center starting at 8 o'clock, and this is free for all UAS students, faculty, staff, as well as your Juno community, so we really encourage people to come on out and check out the show, which is a great, great, great event, and it's free, so yeah, definitely check that out if you're in the area.
So Dave and Ethan do a set of things about dating.
They do, yeah, so dating is kind of one of their themes. So they incorporate that into their show, so comedy and a little bit of romance, and it helps kind of break the ice, especially when they're with the audience. So they'll engage the audience, and it's really fun. So don't feel intimidated; they're really fun, and then you'll get to hang out afterwards and meet them. So they'll also have their own merchandise, which is up for sale too.
That's happening this weekend at 8 o'clock on Saturday night at the Rec Center.
Tomorrow night, Friday night, yeah. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Rec Center, yeah. And this is all going to be included into the Explore Southeast. So UAS is putting on this great weekend for prospective students from all over Alaska and the U.S., which are flying up, and they're going to spend this weekend here at UAS, get to learn everything about UAS, and then they get to check out this cool event. So it's a kind of neat way to engage them with the UAS community and sort of inspire them to maybe want to come here to our great school and our great, great state of Alaska.
And there's a dance coming up.
There is, yeah. So this is going to be at the Rec Center also. So the UAS Ballroom Dance class is inviting everyone for a waltz and swing. So they have two dates. One of them is Tuesday, April 5th from 7 to 9 p.m. And the other is Monday, April 11th from 5:30 to 7:30. So this is free for everyone. So dance students will be there to dance and guide everyone through all these different moves, and with the theme being waltz and swing. So that'll be fun, and it's a neat way to sort of end the semester here.
And then there's a day of service coming up.
There is. This Saturday, it's the second annual UAS Day of Service. I'm kind of proud to have been part of the first one last year, and it was really great. So we went out and volunteered all over the Juneau community with local nonprofit organizations, and then that really meant anything. So I remember volunteering at Evergreen Cemetery, just helping clean up and keeping the place nice and pretty. But yeah, this is taking place this Saturday, and it's great to encourage everyone. You can sign up, and you can visit the UAS Day of Service page on Facebook. It's really quick to register, and then everyone will meet at the UAS campus this Saturday at 10 a.m. for check-in. There'll also be free T-shirts provided, but you have to hurry because sizes do go fast. There's also a free lunch for all participants at the end of the day at 2 p.m. And it's kind of neat to get together and share stories of the day that was. And it's a great way for everyone to join forces for a good thing. And it's nice to just keep the Juno community looking great, and you get to learn a lot too.
All these activities, comedy, dancing, day of service, and do you have time for school?
I forgot
about that.
Right, school. So it's here, the final stretch now, just a few weeks left, April left, technically. So I'm trying to keep myself motivated to finish my classwork. But it's fun to have these events to kind of give you a little break here and there. Especially because the concert series, the Alaska Airlines Student Concert Series, allows us to bring so many different things here to UAS and Juno that which otherwise we wouldn't have. Like, we had Lily Lemon perform this past Friday, and Electric Pop Duo, really different for UAS and for Juno. And it took, I know, some people by surprise because they were like, wow, this is actually really cool. They weren't expecting it. And we had a great turnout for that. And to finish it off in April 16th, again, this is free and open for everyone. We have the Upright Citizens Brigade, which I mentioned earlier, UCB. And they're a touring company for improv. So they're based over in New York and Los Angeles. And they put out some big names. So one of them being like Amy Poehler, which you find on Parks and Rec, and also has been on Saturday Night Live. So they train lots of different folks. We don't know who we're going to get at UAS. I know we have four different improv members, but we're excited to have them perform, and that's going to finish off our concert series for spring semester, all thanks to Alaska Airlines and the concert series. So,
all right. It sounds like a lot of fun, but a lot of work, too.
It is, yeah. It's a lot of planning to put it all together, but it's totally worth it when it comes together and everyone can enjoy from it. And it's neat. So, and I know it's busy now with registration, because registration is now for next fall, which is open. So if there's any students listening, don't forget to register for classes and meet with your advisors, because they're really helpful and they're there to help you. Especially at the Student Research Center, you can always stop by. And if you don't know who your advisor is, your peer advisor is there, will help you. And that's in the lower level of Morant Building. Or if you're looking to maybe take classes at UES, you can register now. That's open. So, but yeah, it's a busy time, but it's fun, and the weather's looking great, so everything's looking really nice to finish off spring.
Felix D., thank you for coming in. Is there anything like Dad that I might have forgotten to ask?
No, I think I might have talked a little bit too much there, but definitely lots of cool stuff. Definitely check out our events, especially tomorrow night with Dave and Ethan at 8 o'clock. But thanks, Jeff, for having me today.
Almanac for Thursday. It's the 31st of March, 2016. It's the birthday of the poet and novelist Marge Piercy, born Detroit, 1936. Her grandfather, a union organizer who was murdered while organizing bakery workers. She grew up working class, Jewish, in an era when anti-Semitism was a constant part of life, witnessed the Detroit race riots. She said, I knew so many kinds of people, from a Wyandotte Native American to kids from the projects to kids up from Appalachia to strivers and strainers and gamblers and numbers runners. Detroit formed me. Author of novels, Braided Lives, He, She, and It, and her most recent collection of poems called Made in Detroit. 1943, on this date, Oklahoma, by Rodgers and Hammerstein, opened on Broadway. It was a smash hit. The first big Broadway blockbuster ran for over 2,200 performances. 1951, on this date, the Remington Rand Corporation signed a contract to deliver the first UNIVAC computer to the Census Bureau. It took up about 350 square feet of floor space, about the size of a one-car garage. It was the first American commercial computer. It's the birthday of the Ukrainian-born Russian humorist Nikolai Gogol, born in the village of Sorochintsy in 1809, wrote a play, The Inspector General. His book, Dead Souls, was written during 6 years he spent in Europe. The philosopher René Descartes, born in France, 1596, on this day, who considered himself a mathematician and a scientist. His famous book was Discourse on Method, about the necessity of doubt in scientific inquiry. The poet Andrew Marvell, born Winstead, England, 1621, on this day. He was a politician as well as a poet, and so most of his poems had to be kept secret, only published after his death. Here's a poem by Marge Piercy, The Visible and the In. Some people move through your life like the perfume of peonies, heavy and sensual and lingering. Some people move through your life like the sweet, musky scent of cosmos, so delicate if you sniff twice it's gone. Some people occupy your life like moving men who cart off couches, pianos, and break dishes. Some people touch you so lightly you are not sure it happened. Others leave you flat with footprints on your chest. Some are like those fall warblers you can't tell from each other, even though you search Peterson's. Some come down hard on you like a striking falcon, and the scars remain, and you are forever wary of the sky. We all are waiting rooms at bus stations where hundreds have passed through unnoticed, and others have almost burned us down, and others have left us clean and new, and others have just moved in. A poem by Marge Piercy, The Visible and the In, from Made in Detroit, published by Knopf and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. And by Staples, offering printer ink and toner cartridges for home and business, with in-store print shops offering customized presentations, booklets, and manuals. In-store and online, Staples make more happen. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Mondays are back at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center, now open Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. until 8 p.m., Saturdays 9 a.m. until 6 p.m., and Sundays noon until 6 p.m. Schedules are available online at juno.org/parkrec/diamondpark. For more information, call Diamond Park Aquatic Center at 586-2782.
It's about 20 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned to Juno Afternoon. Our next guests in the studio are Betsy Fisher and Carrie Howard, two members of the Alaska Photographic Arts Association. Their main group show opens up tomorrow at the KFUO studios. Thank you for coming in.
We're happy to be here, Jeff. Thank you.
Yeah. First of all, can you tell me a little bit about the organization?
Yes. It's somewhat of an eclectic group. It was established back in the year 2000. There's probably about 120 members now that is a mix of amateur and professional photo enthusiasts.
What kind of photos do you take?
Oh boy. Anything that catches my eye. Probably more nature photos than portraits, landscapes as opposed to urban settings. But, just a variety.
Betsy, how about you?
Pretty much follow the same pattern as Carrie, but I like to think with a different perspective, as every photographer's got a slightly different look. That's the neat thing about photography is we can go out together, which we often do, and go for what we call photo walks, and Carrie's taking pictures of one thing, and I'm taking pictures of another thing, and then we look at our photos together later, and it's kind of neat to see what she saw through her eyes versus what I saw through my eyes.
How did you get interested in photography?
Oh, gosh.
Do you remember your first camera?
I do. Let's see. I think I, oh gosh, when I was a little kid, I had one of those little box cameras.
Sure. Brownies.
A brownie camera. Yes. And you know, actually I got my first real camera when I moved to Juneau and I was 19 or so and had a Nikon camera, but you know, back then nothing, it was film. I loaded it with film and you had to count how many pictures you took and be very careful about that. And then I got out of it for a while. And as I became, actually Carrie was a person that helped me get interested in photography again through sharing photos online, social groups. And I had a digital camera and I decided to invest in a nicer one. And it just snowballed from there.
Carrie, what got you interested in photography?
It's been a lifelong interest, and I remember that my mother loved photography, and I remember poring over photo albums with her when I was a kid and just being so intrigued by these memories, these tangible memories you could see again and again. And I think she was quite talented, didn't have any professional training, but it's just been a lifelong interest for me.
Some of your work gets featured in the Capital City Weekly.
Yes.
It's kind of fun. Sometimes you take pictures that are really close up.
Oh, yes. I love macro photos because it's a whole different world. You know, just gives you that added closeness to some unique thing in the environment that you just can't capture unless you're down on your hands and knees with your macro lens.
What do you look for in a scene before you look through the viewfinder?
Honestly, Jeff, just anything that catches my eye, and it can be anything from, like Betsy and I were out yesterday, anything from an old bird's nest hanging in a tree to the first patch of Purple Mountain saxifrage to the fresh blue of the glacier that just calved, to spruce needles lined up in pattern in a pool of water. So my eye just gets drawn to many things in the environment.
Do you keep a camera with you all the time?
Yes. I don't go anywhere without at least one of my cameras. Sometimes it's just a little pocket camera because the weather's bad and I don't want to get it wet, but I don't want to be without. Sometimes I haul out my big telephoto lens, which seems like it gets heavier every year, but gives you that ability to get into a distant photo that otherwise you'd miss.
What kind of gear do you use?
Right now, my kind of go-to camera is a Canon 7D, but I also have a Panasonic Lumix that I like a lot, and I think Betsy is a Sony girl.
Fuji. Yeah, Carrie has a DSLR, and I have what's known as a mirrorless camera. I went for a camera that was a little bit smaller that I could carry with a variety of lenses and still have it be somewhat lightweight. And because I am out hiking and skiing and doing a lot of outdoor things, I wanted to be able to carry it easily with me. Although I do, and I have a backup camera too, a little Olympus TG1. That's something you can just throw in your pocket.
And everybody's got a camera in their telephone.
Yeah,
if you have
do.
A telephone.
If you, yeah, Carrie doesn't have a smartphone. But yes, and apparently those cameras are quite good, and I've got my smartphone sitting right here, and I really only use that for snapshots, but I think some people can take quite good photos with them. I think your ability to edit the photos once you've taken them might be limited. I'm not sure about that.
But the one thing about iPhones is I do think lots of good photos are driven by opportunity, and if you have the opportunity and if you have your iPhone, you can get some great photos.
What makes for a good photo?
So many elements. For me, I feel like a photo is a great photo if it makes me want to look at it again and again. Just something about it, either it's visually pleasing or you see something the second time that you didn't see the first. That would be my initial response.
Betsy, what defines a photo for you?
The same. Something that captures my imagination. I see that and I just go, oh, look at that. And that's one thing that photography has really helped me is to see. I feel like the more photos I take, the more my eyes open up and the more I see things. And even just driving along the road back and forth to town, I look out and go, wow, that's just really, really beautiful. And of course, we live in an incredibly beautiful place where we can do that. But still, I think training my eye to see through the camera has helped me to just see more. And it has to capture my interest and make me feel an emotion about it. That, I think, makes for a good photo.
Do you think about the end viewer when you're taking a picture?
Not so much. I do it for me.
Are you taking a lot more pictures since you retired?
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Retirement is a big plus for photography. Scott and I were out this morning at Dredge Lakes. We went out to find birds, and I ended up taking pictures of spider webs. That's a great example right there.
I've been talking with Betsy Fisher and Carrie Howard about the Alaska Photographic Arts Association show opening up tomorrow here at KTUO. Do you have a list of the participants, Ellen?
Yes, we do. There's 16 of us, and various people who are going to be here are you, Jeff Brown, Joe McCabe, Marilyn Holmes, LaVita Luce, Char Fox, Jim Samard, Brandon Hauser, all the pens, Michael Liam and Iris Korkinen Penn and Betsy and Steve Winker. So an eclectic group, and if it's as in years past, it will not disappoint.
When you're taking a picture, most people keep it on their phone or put it in a frame or put it in the newspaper. I'm just wondering, what do you think about when you're taking a picture?
As to where it's going to end up? You know, most of my photos honestly just end up on a hard drive that I'm the only person who's ever going to see. But the beauty of how I save my photos is I've labeled them all by location and subject matter. So if someone ever says, hey, do you have a great photo of trumpeter swans? I can pull it up and then share that with them. So I don't think about, you know, like Betsy said, I do it for myself. I do it for my enjoyment. But the ones I share with people, other people seem to enjoy too. So that gives me some satisfaction.
Betsy and Carrie, thank you for coming in. Is there anything
you'd
like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
Other than everyone's welcome, should be a great show. There's usually great appetizers. It's from 4:30 to 6:30 tomorrow. And then, as you said, up all month.
And the photographers will be there with their photos. So it's a great opportunity. If you have questions about taking photos, you can talk to their photographers.
Thanks for coming by. That's it. Hannah Yoder Band, they're going to be here for the Folk Festival. We're going to do some original recording in this downstairs 360 studio. And that's happening on Saturday, the Alaska Originals TV recording at 5 p.m. in the KTO building at Spree. And also they'll be playing at the Red Dog on the 8th at 10 p.m. And that's Spree. You'll probably see them at the Alaska Folk Festival. And in the studio with me now is Michelle Alpers, here to talk about the BOW program. Michelle, thank you very much for coming by.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jeff. It was like coming here.
What does BOW stand for?
The BOW is Becoming an Outdoors Woman program.
It's a pretty popular program.
It's a pretty popular program. This is our 9th year in Southeast Alaska, and every year we've filled to the max and often have a waiting list to get into this program, which we're very excited about.
What is the max?
So we accept about 80 people. The courses are designed for women, so it ends up being mostly women, but 80 is the max. And so each year we filled, and like I said, it fills up fast, so within about 2 weeks we're usually full.
I was going to say it. A matter of minutes or hours.
Yeah, it is. We watch our watches and watch the seconds tick by.
How did it get started?
So it's actually a national program, and I think it might even be international, and it's run here in Alaska by the Department of Fish and Game and the Outdoor Heritage Foundation. And so, but around the country, it's run by different state programs, and it's meant to teach women, usually at a beginner level, about hunting, fishing, and outdoor skills. So here in Alaska, we've had it running for many years, but in Southeast, it's been about 9 years running. And so we offer classes in these three areas. We end up having about 20 different classes. It's a three-day workshop, so you can take, over those 3 days, four different classes in these areas. So, I mean, we have classes like fly fishing and fly tying, and we have spin casting, and we have, you know, the fishing area. Smoking, pickling, and grab locks making, or how to flay a fish. In outdoor skills, we have things like kayaking, or how to find wild edibles and learn how to camp. In hunting, we have rifle and shotgun and intro to firearm safety and, you know, beginning deer hunting, things like that. So there's a lot of different classes people can take. They're designed for women 18 years and older. And we have, it's really awesome, we have such a huge range of ages. I mean, on up to, you know, senior citizens and on down to 18 years old. And oftentimes we get mothers and children or sisters or aunts and, you know, nieces. And so it's a pretty fun group that we have out there.
Where is it being held?
So it's being held at Echo Ranch. That's where we've been holding it for the past 8 years, which is a really, if you haven't been there, it's a really amazing place. And I think not only is the program really fun and the classes are amazing, but the setting is awesome. I mean, we have the classes during the day, and then at night we have campfires on the beach, or, you know, we set up volleyball games, or, you know, last year we did laser tag at night. So it's just a really fun outdoor setting where you can, you know, sit by Cowie Creek and read a book if you want, or, like I said, go to the bonfire. It's really a neat spot.
What are some of the most popular classes? And also, do you have any new classes that you're just starting this year?
We do. I would say probably our most popular class right now might be alpaca rafting. And that was when we started a couple years ago, and that gets filled up really fast. So an alpaca raft is a small kind of 3 to 5 pound packable raft that you put in your backpack and you can take out, you know, into remote areas. So the participants will learn how to set it up and blow it up and pack it with gear, and then they take it down Cowley Creek out to the ocean. And that's a really fun one. That's one of our most popular. One of our new classes that we have is small game field dressing, which is pretty fun. We've always done deer field dressing, and that one always fills up. But this year we have small game field dressing, which actually I'm an instructor, but I hope I get to take a class too, because that's the one I want to take. So we're pretty excited about that. And then, you know, we have, I actually teach fly fishing, and that one always fills up, and it's a really popular class. So we have certain classes we offer every year. Intro to Firearm Safety, lots of people take that class. I took that when I first took bow many, many years ago. And so we have a lot that we keep offering every year because they're, you know, the more popular classes. So I do want to mention, though, because I don't think I mentioned the date yet. So it's May 13th through 15th. And that's a Friday to a Sunday. And you leave Friday morning early, and we have transportation out there. So you'll meet at, you know, a centralized location. we'll take a bus to get out there. Then we hike. It's a pretty easy flat hike along the beach to from Echo Cove parking lot to Echo Ranch. And then you stay out there for the weekend. It includes lodging, so you stay in cabins. It includes food, and the food is actually amazing. First time I got out there, I thought, oh, it's going to be camp food, but they do a really good job, and the food's really delicious. And so then Sunday, you stay through Sunday, and right after lunch, you hike back, and then you take a bus back into town. And so the cost for the weekend is $275, and that includes all the classes, the transportation, all meals, lodging, which is a really good price for what's included. It's actually subsidized. Registration opens tomorrow, which is April 1st, and you can register online if you go to, it's a long email address, so I'll say it slow, but it's www.bow.adfg.alaska.gov. And then just click schedule and you'll get into the registration area. Also, I've done it before, you can just Google like Bow, B-O-W in Alaska, Department of Fish and Game, anything like that, it'll pop right up and it'll take you to where you need to go to register.
You mentioned is there token mail?
What is that?
A token mail.
Oh, yeah, token mail. There have been token mails, yes. And they've done really well. And, you know, men can sign up and that's fine. And it's been great when we have men that take classes. And you know, like I said, we create an environment that's comfortable for women. We have a lot of women instructors. We have some male instructors, too. And our goal is just to have women come and to be able to feel comfortable taking the classes and learning at a really beginner level. I mean, I think the reason Bo started around the country, because it was just a recognition of our culture in outdoor skills to pass things on generation to generation, fathers to sons, and women got left out. And so the goal of Bo is to allow women for an opportunity where they're not being taught by their partners or spouses or fathers, but they're being taught, you know, in a really comfortable environment. So yes, men are welcome, and there are token men, and they do great.
And how much does it cost again?
So it's $275 for the 3-day workshop, and that includes meals, transportation, lodging, and the classes.
That's worth the price just to go out there. It's such a fantastic location.
I would say that it is. It's a great getaway. I have small children and a busy life, and I look forward to it every year, going out there and just relaxing and enjoying the beautiful place.
And how do people register?
So they go to the website.
And this is tomorrow.
And it opens tomorrow. And as I mentioned early on, we were talking about it really fills up usually within 2 to 2.5 weeks. And we usually do have a waiting list. So I would highly encourage anyone who's interested to get on and register tomorrow or as soon as they can.
And they can do it by visiting the website again?
They can. And so it's www.bow.adfg.alaska.gov.
You need a guide just to make your way through the URL.
Yeah, you do. But Google will help you if you need help.
Michelle Alfers, thank you for coming by. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
I don't think so. I just hope we see lots of excited, enthusiastic women out there this year.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Jeff.
Down cold, I couldn't get out of bed. As I lay there shivering, as cold as I could be, suddenly a revelation came to me. I gotta find me a woman with a chainsaw to spend the winter with me. I gotta find me a woman with a chainsaw, and all night long stoke her fire. I pulled a cat down at the co-op. I noticed I'm a stump. I don't care if she's skinny and I don't care if she's plump. I don't care if she's pretty or ugly or thin. But if she's got a chainsaw, she can move right in. I gotta find me a woman with a chainsaw. Spend the winter with me. I gotta find me a woman with a chainsaw. And all night long, so good fire, yes.
never fight. But she went out with other guys that wouldn't get uptight. She could just do her thing, I could just do mine. For her and me and that machine, we'd get along just fine. I gotta find me a woman with a chainsaw. Pickup truck with stereo and four-wheel drive to pull us through the muck. I got 100 pounds of soybeans, a barrel of brown rice, a dozen cords of firewood, sure would be nice. I gotta find me a woman with a chainsaw.
Here they come. Rufous hummingbirds, ruby throats, and others are migrating north after a hot, dry winter in sunny Mexico or Central America. And they're ready for a drink. Hummingbirds need to consume several times their body weight each day, so they're looking for flowering plants to quench that mighty thirst. If a whirring puffball is hovering at your window, consider becoming a hummingbird bartender. To help feed them, select a hummingbird feeder that you can easily clean on the inside, and one that has plenty of red to attract the birds. Then fill it with sugar water made by dissolving one part sugar in four parts water. No honey or sugar substitutes allowed, and please, no red food coloring. There's no need to feel guilty that feeding hummers will lure them away from their natural sources of nourishment. The birds will continue to consume a healthy balance of plant nectar, small insects, and sap. So set out a feeder, and before long, you may be hearing a hummingbird hovering around your watering hole. You can learn a lot more about hummingbirds and what attracts them. Begin at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
Program support comes from Rainforest Pediatric Care, providing families in Juneau with medical care from birth to young adulthood for over 15 years, accepting new patients. Located at 3268 Hospital Drive, Suite E. More information at 463-1210.
Propeller spinning on top, rainbow colors on a tie-dyed shirt, two bare feet all covered with dirt, ticking and a scratching out a devil of a tune, higher than a kite in the afternoon, heading this way and he's wanting to jam, I've got to disappear from the place I am. Oh, have mercy on me, I gotta run with the hippie with a banjo, it's like torture to me, kinda like a skeeter in your ear when you're canceled, he's so simple and free, he's gonna play the damn thing anyway. With a very dull drill, hammered on my thumb, I remember it still. Took a long trip in a very small car with my Uncle Eddie popping on a big cigar.
summer with my mother-in-law. All of these things still stick in my craw, but nothing compares to the pain I feel when I hear the twang of those strings of steel. Oh, have mercy on me, I gotta run Mr. Hippie with a banjo. It's like torture to me, kinda like a feeder in your ear when you can't pull. He's so simple and free, he's gonna play the damn thing anywhere he can go. Please have mercy on me, I gotta run Mr. Hippie with a banjo.
Tune in to KRNN for live broadcast from the 42nd Annual Alaska Folk Festival, April 4th through the 10th. This live broadcast is made possible by the generous sponsorship of Chatham Electric, a full-service electrical contractor in Southeast Alaska, information at chathamelectric.com, and University of Alaska Southeast, a learning community on campus and online. Information at uas.alaska.edu.
Those darn accordions gave us a tune. Hippie with a banjo and Remy Rod, one of Alaska's folk festival's stars over the years, did Woman with a Chainsaw. Nancy, the journey is here to talk about various things going on in the capital city. Thank you.
And it's a busy packed coming up week. It's First Friday, as you have mentioned, and let's see. But there's a tango dancing. Shrek the Musical opens this weekend, and it's going to be great. It's out at Thunder Mountain High School Auditorium. I think you've just got a one or two weekends to go. This is the last weekend for the In the Next Room or the Vibrator Play. There's two shows on Saturday, no show on Sunday. So you got Friday or two shows on Saturday. I'm hearing great things about it. It's funny, adult sort of content. But let's see, we got open mic with Terry Tibbett and Abby Karaoke, 9 a.m. Karaoke's out at McGivney's. Terry's at the Alaskan Hotel. It's First Friday on Friday. We'll run through it. And don't forget the theater organ concerts. I haven't mentioned that one in a while, but that happens at noon in the state office building. First Friday, start at the Jack and get your little flyer because you're going to need reminders of where you have to go. There's a lot of them today. We've got, over at the Jack, the University of Alaska Southeast Student Juried Show will open up, and it goes until 7. And then at 7:30, I think, or 7 p.m., we've got comedy for a cause. So stop off, go start at the Jack, go do your rounds, and then come back for that. We have here at K2, they're hanging it up now, beautiful photography by all sorts of different the Alaska Photographic Arts Association, David Riccio, and you've got something in there, I'm sure, Bobby Lee Daniels, all kinds of people out there. There is over at COPA, the Mad Hatter Tea Party with Teapot Creations by Andy Engstrom, and of course you can get a little ice cream there while you're there. And right next door to them is the Glacier Salt Cave and Spa, and if you've not ever, you don't quite know what that is, a good opportunity to stop in and see what's going on. They have a special for that. If you get to Maine's front and fourth and all that, the Juneau Douglas City Museum still has their 12x12, but they're also having a ukulele jam, so that go on up and see how that is. Sketch Studio is having a sale. Now, Sketch Studio is MK. And you get to it by looking at the thing that says, before I die, and you write whatever it is that you want on that, and then you look into the parking lot and across the parking lot, and there's a door. You want to go there, because that's MK's studio, and it's for one night only, a sale of paintings and hand-painted T-shirts and prints and cards. Come on out for that. And also, she does summer art catering. So if you have folks coming to town, you want to find out about that, she'll take folks out on a plain rain type thing, a plain air excursion, or even do it in her studio. Alaska Robotics has Kazu Kibwishi, I'm not sure I'm saying that right at all, Vera Brosgol, Kate Beaton, and more. They're it's the illustrators and comic artists who will be visiting for the upcoming comic convention that's coming April 23rd. So get more information about that at Alaska Robotics. Annie Kales has P. O'Reilly from Petersburg. Beautiful, big, colorful, bright, wonderful paintings by Pia. Stop in there, and they have, I think, maybe got some refreshments. Hearthside Books, our own Jeff Brown. The annual Real Alaska release. We have a box of them at the Arts Council, but we have not opened them because it says on it, do not open until April 1st. So stop on down, Hearthside Books. Jeff Brown will sign your copies that you're going to need several of. Sea Alaska Heritage has got Sugar Bear Alaska Treasures. That's Renee Culp and Rhonda Butler. This is an opportunity for you to stop into the Walter Soboloff building. If you haven't been in yet, they have free admission, and it's a really beautiful, beautiful, beautiful addition to our community. So I encourage you to stop in. They have sales and special deals and stuff in the store. At the Rookery for the Art of It, or At the Art of It by Kathleen Anna and Nellie Wayne. It was up last year or last month, but it will continue on through. At the Canvas, Out of the Woods by George Gress. He has his exhibit of custom electric guitars made right here in Juneau, and he will be performing live, giving demonstrations throughout the first Friday evening. So stop in there.
He brought a guitar with him last week when he was on the show.
Cool.
And it's beautiful.
It is amazing.
Beautiful.
He's a craftsperson. Now, I forgot to mention GCI has Tamara Roberts. She's also on Seward Street. We go over to Franklin and Harris, a little off the beaten path, but the Juneau Community Charter School has an arts and education student art exhibit, and they'll have tasty snacks, they say. And so you can also, if you're thinking about the charter school for your child, this is an opportunity to visit that and see what you think. Heritage Coffee at the Baranoff Hotel has the Aware Clothesline Project, which is a healing arts project dedicated to April's Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month. So stop in there as you wander back down Franklin Street. Then Aunt Claudia's Dolls, the miniatures collection. She's highlighting super small ones this month, the World of Miniatures. If you've not been to Aunt Claudia's Dolls, it's time to make a little stop up there. Kindred Post has April Showers, Bring May Flowers, photo booths, and live music by the shoreline, and snacks, of course. We want snacks. The Rainforest Yoga, I think they're assuming that there's going to be a lot of people that need a little rest. They're having a sort of a longer thing. There's an internationally Qigong and Tai Chi Grandmaster Ken Cohen will read from his new book. And so stop in up there, and I don't know if you get to do yoga that day now that you think about it. Taya Shab is at the Juneau Artist Gallery. She's doing some new hand-forged metalwork in sterling silver and copper, so check that out. Her stuff is always gorgeous anyway. They will be having treats. Everybody's got treats, but speaking of treats, then we get to the Alaskan Brewing Depot. Thumbs up there.
They're coming out with a new beer.
Yes, didn't they have that on the radio the other day? And I missed that tasting.
But having had another beer for the folk festival.
What's it going to be called?
Honey Hemp.
Honey Hemp. Oh my goodness. They have. It says on this list that they will be having their Boundary Range variety pack, including Hopothermia, Icy Bay IPA, Free Ride APA, and Hop Turn, and the folk festival beer, obviously, with live folk music, as well as light snacks. Now, I think there are other things going on in the whole thing. Ukuleles, I mentioned that. They are happening at the Juneau Douglas City Museum. Let's see, and 7 o'clock, the Comedy for the Cause. This is local people telling funny stories, and we got some funny people in this town. So I suspect you ought to go. Showtime, the Drill Team annual Showtime thing. It is on Friday night at 7 and also Saturday night at 7. And apparently this is the last year that Craig Dahl and the other gentleman will be the MCs for it. So if you're familiar with Showtime, it's a great show that they put on every year. Shrek's Running Through the Weekend. Dave and Ethan Comedy Duo out at the UAS Rec Center starting at 8. Let's go to Saturday. There is a great fundraiser for the Cooperative Preschool, Not So Silent Film Classic Shorts at 11 and at 5, and they're going to have music from all sorts of people like Bob Banghart, and just great, great musicians are going to be part of that. And it's really fun, and you will be doing your book signing, the Real Alaskan Magazine book signing, out at Hearthside Books in Nugget Mall from noon till 1. At 2, until 6 at the Jackets, Hope Not Heroin. It's all sorts of information and music and food and all sorts of things going on over there. It's free. The UAS Alumni and Friends Annual Spring Dinner and Auction is at the UAS Egan Library. You can call out there and get the tickets. By the way, if you need information on any more of this stuff, go to jahc.org or to ktoo.org and check out the calendar.
Or if you're doing an event, make sure you go there and
see. Yeah, get it on there because we'll list it right here. It's World Day Benefit event is out at St. Paul Catholic Church at 7 p.m. And 7:30 Saturday is your last opportunity for the Perseverance Play. We have on Sunday from noon to 4, Eagle River United Methodist Camp is having a celebration out there. We have to take that Sunday show off because it's not happening. International Folk Dancing at 6 p.m. Music on the Fly. It's out at the airport. And let's see, Gaza's Israeli Neighbors, Northern Light Church from 7 p.m. A discussion. We have the Folk Festival beginning on Monday. You played the right song. And they're coming. This goes on all the way through the week. It's free. It's at Centennial Hall and various other locations. There's things happening in all sorts of different bars and restaurants and stuff. So come on down, get your T-shirt, get your list of things, go on the web, whatever. But on Tuesday, stop in at the Jack at 5:30 for Clink the Wine Tasting. It's a nice way to warm up and be ready for that folk festival. We have like 50 wines that you can try. It's going to be amazing. There's West Coast Swing Dancing out at Suite 907 on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we'll be having a little part. If you're going to apply, tomorrow is your opportunity, the deadline for getting your scholarship applications in and your individual artist grant applications in. Major grants are due April 15th, and so we'll be doing a little grant review. And there's weekly old-time music jam at Alaska Hotel on Wednesday. Music at the Alaskan Bar with Harrison B. Music at the Red Dog. It's just music. This is the music week.
And there's a barn dance on Saturday night.
All right. There's a barn dance on Saturday night. See, there's so many things I already forgot one. So come on down. Stop at the Jack. Get your little folder. Get warmed up. Get ready to go. We got us some stuff.
Nancy Maturney, thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
Humankind.